Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, as James Brown might say, Apple's got a brand new TV bag, and tomorrow will be televised. Good early evening to those of you in the East, good mid-afternoon to those of you West, and everybody else tuning us in. We welcome you to this special later-than-normal Monday edition of the program All About Television. 51 degrees at the top of the hour, and tonight it's all about Apple and the big, long-anticipated TV announcement that they made earlier today at their headquarters in Cupertino, California. In fact, one of our guests today is live with us right from where Apple did their thing. And we want you to be involved with your thoughts by phone or chat room. Here's how you get involved. You raise your voice, you pick up the phone, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere you're catching across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Another way you get involved is our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room to communicate with us, and we'll communicate back to you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Before we bring on our roundtable guests, two things. First, I want to let you know that because we want to devote as much time this hour to what took place with Apple and reaction to it, we will not be doing our regular features. Our Tapestry Question segment will go on for another 48 hours with our current question. And our spot for our sponsor, Audible.com, an Amazon company, will come your way in the second half hour. So there will be limited commercial interruption. So before we bring on our guests in roundtable fashion, let's summarize what Apple announced today. Basically, when it comes to television, three things. The big one is Apple TV Plus. It's an individual streaming service running ad-free on Apple TV, smart TV sets, and TV-connected devices. The service will start this fall with new series and movies and specials premiering each month. Some initial projects include The Morning Show, that's the long-awaited satire on morning talk, morning news programming, featuring Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston. C, which is a post-apocalyptic tale where all of the survivors are blind, the anthology series Little America, featuring immigrant stories, and the reboot of Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories from the 1980s on NBC. Also, the second service is Apple Arcade. It was a service that offered more than 100-plus games exclusively via Apple TV, and that will be starting this fall like Apple TV+. However, the pricing and other key details, are yet to come. And the third major announcement TV-wise is Apple TV Channels. Think of it as similar to Amazon Channels. It's a new bundle mixing cable networks with web and smart TV distributed services via Apple TV this May. It will also be carried later this spring on Samsung smart television sets, also on sets from LG, Sony, and Vizio, and also on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Separately, Apple also announced two new services, Apple News Plus and Apple Play featuring Apple Card. And we'll get into that a little bit. And I'll ask the question, why weren't they featured as Apple TV services? And now let us meet our roundtable panel. Joining us live from Cupertino, California, the home of the Apple announcement earlier today, is the Apple reporter for the popular website Business Insider, Lisa Anicchio. Lisa, welcome in.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. And from Washington, D.C., where the 4A's are having their advertising conference as we speak, the new tech columnist for MediaVillage.com, Jeff Ninsky. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Simon. It's good to be here.
And joining all three of us is someone we have had many times before over the years on this program. She is the founder of the website Interactive TV Today and the semi-annual TV Tomorrow show taking place this June in Silicon Valley and December in New York. Our very good friend, Tracy Swedlow. Tracy, welcome aboard.
Hi, Simon. Always good to be here.
Same here. Lisa, we'll start with you. What was your key takeaway from what Apple announced television-wise?
Yeah, for sure. So I think for Apple, the big thing here is that this is a really big push for them to expand their services business, especially as, you know, we've seen in their most recent earnings report, iPhone sales have declined. So I think what they're really doing here is looking for more ways to keep the customers that they already have really engaged and to give another way to make money off of those devices as well through subscription services. So this entertainment push is really going to be a big play to boost their services business.
Jeff, what was top of mind for you?
Well, I mean, again, the star power that was behind it, the names that they have for the Apple TV Plus, I think gave testament that this is something that will be taken very seriously. The thing that for me, though, was a big takeaway is both with this and the arcade is we got really, and Tim Cook even said it at the end, this was a sneak peek. We didn't get a lot of details. And I think that is something that is going to be very interesting to see the timeline on. You know, were things completely ready to launch today, or was it just sort of, we got to get out there, we've been talking about this, we've got these big names ready to go, so let's just do this. But what are the real details? What are the pricing? When is this exactly going to launch? What is, besides those original content pieces, which were seemed really, really well produced, very positive, what else? What is there besides those like five or six shows that they highlighted?
Well, welcome guest 888 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04. My name. Thanks for coming aboard. You have a question or a comment? Put it in the room or give us a call. 646-652-2906. Tracy, for you, what did Apple say that was critical when it came to TV and these new services they announced?
Well, I mean, the strange thing they kept talking about all the time was that they weren't going to be tracking you. They weren't going to be watching what you're purchasing. They weren't going to be watching what you, what you subscribe to. I mean, I just that seemed very odd to me. I think the top issues here are the distribution of the Apple brand into more screen surfaces and sort of punching through a larger distribution network, right? Number two, creating reasons to be more loyal to Apple content by partnering with very famous people, but it's basically trying to redirect your attention from the established services they compete with towards the Apple brand. And then number three, I think this is really a preparation of the audience for not only purchasing subscriptions, but eventually I think it's about selling stuff. The presence of the card and of Apple Pay and maybe everything works together. They didn't say it's all going to work together, but I can't imagine that it won't down the line. I mean, so many services have not figured that out, but it's the elephant in the room. Amazon certainly could take advantage of it, but they haven't. So it's kind of a jump, I think, to enable a larger revenue share on a variety of different ways.
Lisa, picking up from where Tracy just stopped, it was very interesting to me in that first hour that when they announced Apple News Plus and they announced Apple Pay with the Apple Card, what hit me was, why is this working on Apple TV? Here's a service, Apple News Plus, it could work on that TV-connected device. Apple Pay probably would also in some way. And, of course, they're focusing on brand safety and so on and so forth, as Tracy was saying. Why didn't they say out front, let's put these on Apple TV, let's make it more differentiated than anything else out there?
Yeah, I think the big thing there, specifically when it comes to the TV apps as well, is that they want to make it clear that, you know, that the services are a huge deal for them. It's not just something that's tied to their hardware anymore. Like you saw with the TV app, now, you know, that's going to be made available for smart TVs and for Roku devices and Amazon Fire devices as well. So I think, you know, that's kind of part of the message that they're trying to drive home is that, you know, we're not just about hardware anymore. Services are a really big deal for us. And you're going to, you know, see that you're going to see more about that from us moving forward. And then I think kind of piggybacking off of what Tracy was just saying as well is that the convenience factor is going to be a really big deal for these services as well. You know, like with Amazon Prime, you know, it's very easy for people to subscribe to these channels and then kind of just have it linked to their Amazon account, you know, where their payment information is. So I think Apple is going to be kind of leveraging Apple Pay in the same way.
And Jeff, what Lisa just pointed to, I think, was one of the big stories here going in, which was how if Apple is going to do an original programming service or anything else, would it just be distributed over Apple TV, or is it going to be distributed to the smart TV infrastructure that sets and devices like Apple TV that currently 3/4 of all U.S. households have, and then through them watching billions of hours of content and apps per month? And we got the answer, and the answer is yes, it's going to be a huge ecosystem.
Well, we actually got a sneak peek of that answer during CES when Samsung made the announcement of the iTunes app being on their television. So, and so this is not a surprise that they are, that the TV app is going to be across the board on all devices. You know, I think that they recognize that they don't have a television set piece of hardware, that smart TVs selling about 30 million a year for the past 5 years are in the living room. They're ready to, their distribution ready to happen, that people still watch TV and the type of content. And look, Spielberg's been the most vocal about it. You know, you've seen with everything he's gone with Over the Top. And I was at a conference once where he even said, I don't make movies for a small screen. The content that he's producing and many others demand to be seen on a large screen. And therefore, if you're going to start this kind of original series and these original and this quality of original content, then it needs to be distributed across all platforms possible. So, yeah, I wasn't surprised by that at all.
Tracy, when it came to Apple TV Plus, Tim Cook and Zach Vandenberg and Jamie Ehrlich all were sort of giving the same mantra. The differentiator we have with this compared to Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, et cetera, is we've got the world's best storytellers. We are going to give you the best story. In fact, is that quote, the best stories ever made. You want to come to us for the top. You got it. What do you think of that that mantra?
Well, I mean, you know, compelling content obviously drives a lot of interest in these platforms, and people hop platforms for the content. And it doesn't even matter whether it's Steven Spielberg, or, you know, the people behind Marvel's Mrs. Maisel on Amazon, right? I mean, I get that, but I do think there's quite a large group of people, and I don't have the data in front of me, but just a anecdotally, that who aren't necessarily looking for the best storytellers all the time. They're looking for, you know, long-tail content. So I would say, sure, go ahead and promote that, but I don't think that's necessarily going to retain your audience over time. Because, you know, once the show is over, once you've binge-watched, then what do? I think, you know, there are a lot of people who are looking for interesting, educational, or something, you know, more documentary-oriented, you know, stuff that they're passionate about. I'm biased about that.
But I think they showed
I think they showed
a nice mix. I mean, you did have you had the big productions through Spielberg. You had the comedies with Jennifer Aniston. Then you did have documentary type content with Oprah and with what was it, Kumail. So I think there was a nice mix there. To your point, though, there are lots of people that create great content. You know, I think Netflix would probably say, well, you know, Shonda Rhimes is not small change there. And that's what makes this a really kind of interesting time frame with all these other services that are launching as well that have big names, that have great content. The winner here is the consumer who loves content.
But there's got to be something else going on here that we're not being told, because they're only spending $1 billion. Netflix is spending a lot more than that. So what is creating this loyalty to Apple, you know, for all of these big deal storytellers and showrunners? There's something else going on here. Something else they're going to get back in return. What is that?
Well,
One thing that was interesting to me, thank you. One thing that was interesting to me was that slide at the very end of that presentation that showed all these show creators, producers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I believe there were like 45, 50 names that were on that screen. And it sort of also got into my head, Apple is going to spend more than $1 billion a year on this. In fact, J.D. Power came out with some thoughts for me that suggested they might spend $4 to $5 billion a year on this content by 2023. That's how high they are on this.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I mean, you know, like Tracy mentioned earlier, this is just like a fraction of what Netflix is investing in content. But I think really like what stands out for me and the question that I had too was, you know, when people subscribe to services like HBO and, you know, Netflix as well, but more so HBO, because I mean, Netflix just has such a big catalog of other content that's not their own as well. But people subscribe to a service like HBO because they love one or two shows. Like, if you love Game of Thrones, there's no way you don't have an HBO subscription. And, you know, they might not be familiar with all the other content on there, but, you know, they might really love, you know, something like Game of Thrones. So, like, is Apple going to have, you know, they have a lot of shows that look very impressive from a lot of really, really big names, and it's clear that they're taking this very seriously. But are they going to have that hit show that makes people want to pay for their service and get that exclusive content when there are just so many other options out there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a question. They're also competing with YouTube as well, and they aren't demonstrating any interest in delivering video news, ability to upload your own program. I mean, they aren't going in that direction, which I think is interesting, very curious. I mean, they're keeping it just within the community of professional filmmakers.
But I think that goes back to the Apple ethos. But that goes back to the Apple ethos of a closed control ecosystem. So they would never do that, because then they would not be able to control the ecosystem. And that I think goes back to your first point you were making about why they were talking about not tracking. That has been their platform across everything for the past few years to differentiate themselves from Google. And, you know, they had that billboard at CES that said, what happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone. That we will not track you. We are that's Tim Cook. That is the platform. That is exactly what Apple stands for. And they just want to reiterate that.
I'm just not sure I believe that. I'm not sure. I feel like they must be extracting data from something. I don't know.
Well, they're doing it, but they're doing it for their own. I mean,
yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say they're doing it for their own needs.
Go ahead, Jeff. Finish the thought.
No, I'm saying they're doing it for their own internal things. I mean, you saw that there was going to be a recommendation engine. So in order to have a recommendation engine, you have to be mining data. You have to be looking at what people are viewing. But they are not going to take that into an open marketplace. They're not going to take that out and allow, you know, there is no advertising on this. Advertisers are not going to be able to utilize that data. That's not going to be sold to a third party to go retarget anything. So I think, I think from that perspective, of course they're using data for their own needs. But it is not the business they are in versus a Google.
Well, they do right, and so they do that kind of.
Yeah, I just shift the subject a little bit. Some of the early social media reaction to Apple's event today was along the lines of, particularly when the storytellers, whether it's Steven Spielberg or J.J. Abrams and Sarah Bareilles talking about their series of The Voice we produced here in New York, etc., the thought was lots of tell, no show, no clips. We had that one sizzle reel down the stretch. We had the big sort of Steven Spielberg and the creators talking black and white about what it takes to put a quality series together. What was the reaction from you? Was there in the room or from what you saw the same thing, like Apple could have done better, could have made the point better with more clips?
Yeah, I mean, I think the case, and this is just, you know, pure speculation here, but I mean, I think the case is probably just that the shows aren't ready yet, and they might not just have the clips available yet. And, you know, instead of just showing the clip, they probably thought it was more powerful to have these people come and, like, talk about their projects in person, which, I mean, I think definitely left an impression. But, I mean, I think there's still, like, a lot of unanswered questions about the service, especially since, you know, we haven't seen exactly what these shows are going to look like yet, since they didn't really have many trailers. You know, they just kind of had like a nice like sizzle reel showing highlights from some of the shows. So I think that is one of the key questions that needs to be answered. And I think when they start launching some of these initiatives, like the big draw is going to be more about the storefront and having, you know, all of your channels and all of your TV watching apps housed in one place in the Apple TV app. And then, you know, the content will probably come a little later.
Mm-hmm. I remember an older presentation. Remember, was it last year or so or beyond or older than that when they were touting their e-commerce capabilities, that there's going to be an app where you could buy stuff? I mean, what happened to all of that work? That was obviously not mentioned at all here. I'm curious. I just wanted to make one quick comment. You're like, how did I feel with all these stars showing up? I mean, when Oprah showed up, I mean, they were all over her in a really big way. And when she goes at the end, you know, like, Apple, you know, I felt like I was at Ohio State Fair again, walking through the commercial buildings with all the you know, the pots and pans sellers trying to get my attention, you know? I felt
like I was being sold.
What?
Well, that's how I felt when they were talking about the Apple News Plus. And they said, if you were to subscribe to every single one of these magazines, it would cost you $8,000. But for you, just today, is $9.99. That's right, $9.99 for the. I mean, that's kind of how that came off. But
I totally felt like that. Like we were, hawked. I felt like we were being hawked. You know?
Yeah, anyway,
Did anybody find it interesting? That over the last year, 15 months, when drips and drabs of what Apple was going to do in terms of original series were popping up in the Hollywood Reporter and Variety, Dylan O'Day, and so forth, despite the fact that Apple never released a press release except for the Oprah Winfrey deal, never released a press release, and that today, right after the address, I went to Apple's website. In fact, I'd watched the event. It was streamed on Apple's website. I saw their press release, and guess what? Not one word about the original shows. Not one description, not one name of a show, not one who's producing, whether it's and so forth. What is it with Apple not releasing information about individual shows? Or, in the case of the overall press release, not talking about the shows themselves? And this is just right after you have creators like Steven Spielberg and J.J. Abrams, et cetera, you know, spending time on that stage talking about them.
I suppose they probably don't want to give their competitors any kind of information in advance, because Netflix could probably move very quickly, produce something, you know, that will, you know, subvert that or something. I mean, my guess is that they want to, release these things on their own time, and they don't want to give you a clue, you know, what they're going to come out with. I'm speculating.
I did see a press release that talked about the lineup of celebrities that we saw at the event today and that content would be coming from them. But I think, you know, if you think about kind of like the way, you know, Apple formats its announcements around new products and apps, like, you know, they prefer to let people kind of tell their own story. So I think that's part of it as well, is that, you know, they might just want to kind of have these celebrities tell their own story about it, which is why they had them come to the event today and talk about it versus showing trailers. But I mean, I think that's part of it too, is that, you know, when you see Apple launch new products, you see a lot of really, you know, interesting app demos and game demos, but, you know, it's rare that sometimes those apps and games are called out by name in press releases. Sometimes they're not. But, you know, I think it just is something that they're kind of pointing out as like a proof point for the platform and what they're trying to do versus going totally in depth with it and making it feel like, you know, even though, yes, it is their, I guess, product because it's on their platform and it's exclusive to them, I think they want to, you know, give the impression as much as possible that this is really like their thing. And, you know, they framed the whole announcement as, you know, these people being creative artists. So I think that's the message they're trying to send here, is that, you know, these, you know, Jennifer Aniston, J.J. Abrams, Steven Spielberg, all these people were the ones that were really taking a big role in creating the content, not Apple.
Tracy, before we take a break, I want to start this with you. One of the things that some reporters were looking for and they had reported on was whether Apple would have any of these programs be interactive. We know that Netflix is now all in on interactive programming, coming off the Bandersnatch episode of Black Mirror. On April 10th, they're launching their first interactive TV series, The Unscripted, The You vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. Then they're launching an interactive animated series, Battle Kitty, that was announced last week. Of course, Google has the games Stadia that they've announced, and more about the game service coming up in our second half hour. We're going to get to that. But here's the thing. Not one talk about interactivity, despite the fact that in some of these reports, we were told that Zach Van Amberg and Jamie Ehrlich, the two people in charge of Apple TV Plus, gathering this talent together, had apparently in reports told producers, hey, make your shows interactive. You see what Netflix is doing. We should do the same thing.
You know, it's so weird you ask that question, because I was thinking that right before you said it. Of course, that's our specialty, right? Yes, I mean, that was definitely missing. And, of course, all that interactivity was not accessible on Apple TV itself. It was only accessible on iPhones, I think on iPads. I can't remember. But, yeah, it's maybe that's the sort of thing they're not going to discuss, that because they're going to make it not only interactive down the road and surprise Netflix with something that will compete directly, but also make it maybe they'll offer opportunities to purchase stuff. I mean, that's what I think is the elephant in the room that they're not talking about. But it's a very hard nut to crack. I don't know. I mean, I personally think that there obviously was so much valuable data that Netflix gathered that they have decided, to, like I said, you know, to really go crazy and embrace interactive storytelling. Personally, I've been, you know, promoting that for I don't know how long. I think there's a lot of, you know, gold to glean from that, a lot of data to glean, and it would really grow storytelling as a medium. But I'm you know, I'm a believer.
Jeff, what do you think?
What do you guys think? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, given what Netflix has done and what we've seen, you know, with Black Mirror and Bear Grylls, like, I definitely think there's a demand for it. And there was such a, you know, strong reception, particularly to Bandersnatch when that launched, that I wouldn't be surprised to see Apple do something like this down the road. But, I mean, again, they're still kind of new to this world, and they're new to creating original content. So I think, you know, just getting, like, the roster of talent is probably a big starting point for them.
Yeah,
one
and
thing
I
didn't mention was live. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, please. No, go ahead. Go. Tracy, go ahead.
I mean, they didn't mention live streaming at all, which is another thing they didn't really discuss. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. No. That exactly. There was no mention of deals other than the fact that if you have if you have one of their partner cable networks, it can be integrated into the Apple TV app, and you can watch it all live, which is up and new. So yeah, that wasn't part of any discussion there. No, I was going to say on the interactivity. Yes. And look, right now it's gimmicky. Right now, even Bandersnatch was just okay. There was mixed reviews on the story itself. It was great that it got pulled off and it worked. And I'm going to be the contrarian a little bit, because while I do believe in immersive storytelling and certainly in environments like VR, I still think the lean back position of television and even to a certain extent watching on your laptop or watching on your phone is still viewed as a way to relax and not necessarily have to think too much about what you're watching. And so I think that there will be opportunities for interactivity. I just don't know if it will ever be scaled to a standard that is out there, you know, more than 10 to 15, 20% at most.
We're going to take a break in our roundtable, and in our second half hour, we're going to talk about what I thought was, I think, the real sleeper of this whole situation today, and that's the Apple Arcade, and how that might be a real big thing for Apple, and how that's going to upset Google's plans, and maybe other people's plans, in the area of doing advanced video games over your television set with just a controller, not having to do a big console. We are doing a special early inning edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, mid-afternoon on the West Coast. Time out, I'm going to be live from New York. It's all about Apple and the big Apple announcements, TV-wise, that they made earlier today in Cupertino, California. And joining us live from Cupertino, where the announcement was made, is the Apple correspondent for Business Insider, Lisa Riccio. We've got Jeff Nitzke, the new Tech Commons of Media Village. He's down in Washington, D.C., where the popular 4A's conference that's involving advertising agencies is taking place down there, the nation's capital. And we also have our good friend Tracy Swedlow, the founder of Interactive TV Today, and the annual TV of Tomorrow show takes place every June in Silicon Valley, every December at the School of Visual Arts Theater in Midtown Manhattan. We'll have all three of them back with us shortly, and we want to have you involved too. What do you think about what Apple had to say? Would you buy Apple TVs, Apple TV Plus, et cetera, et cetera? So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name is AA in the room. The rest of our roundtable coming up, but first we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio and www.speaker.com, the best internet radio in the galaxy. More than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget tonight, one of the popular shows you can find here on BTR and Speaker. It's the TV Unplugged show. Music, rap, and a whole lot more. Tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Don't forget Best BTR 24/7 at youtube.com. Welcome back to the second half of our special Tsunami Televised Monday Hour, all about Apple TV's new initiatives. Tsunami has a round with you live from New York, back with our wonderful roundtable trio. You have a question or comment for them, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Lisa, for me, I think the bigger story was the announcement of Apple Arcade and the opportunity for people on a TV set to have more than 100 games at any given month, play them on a controller rather than a console. What did you think about that announcement?
Yeah, you know, for me, that was a really surprising announcement. You know, like it's been reported that Apple was working on a video game service. I just did not think it was going to be announced at today's event. It seemed like they wanted, you know, the speculation leading up to it, it seemed like they wanted to keep it focused on video. But I mean, I think it's definitely like another sign that they're just going all in on services. And I think it's interesting, especially following, you know, Google Stadia unveil last week. It's very interesting to see how their two approaches differ very much. And for Apple, their advantage is going to be in, you know, the 1.4 billion active devices they have out there. You know, they have 900 million phones in every pocket. You know, that's going to be definitely like an advantage to them. You know, but Google has YouTube, and especially in this day and age when game streaming is just, you know, so popular and on the rise, that's a really big asset that they have in their pocket. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how those two things play out. And I think also the focus of the announcement was really interesting because it seems like, you know, it seems like that the types of games that Apple will have on their platform are a bit different than what you're seeing from, you know, Google and Microsoft and Sony that are targeting more of, you know, the hardcore gamers that have, you know, probably owned a console for a while or have owned a gaming PC for a while. It seems like this customer is more, you know, like an avid player of mobile games that's looking to dive a bit more deeply into that. So I definitely think there was a lot there as well.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, Tracy, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, go ahead. I was going to say, I'll echo what Lisa said, and that is I do think that there is a lot of difference between what Apple showed and what Google did. I actually think if you're looking at just simply on who is going to have the more active user, I would put my bet right now on Google Stadia because they really did capture that sense of community and the integration of the community aspect for the gamers. And because they do have YouTube as the conduit there, I think it really gives them the edge. Plus, their highlight were with some of the top game publishers out there. So to your point, Lisa, it really is more Google concentrated on core gamers, while Apple, understandably so, is concentrating on the casual game user. The big question is, you know, some of the games they were showing today take it above a step or two above a casual game. And so will the casual gamer want to move that direction, and will they want to play those games on a big screen TV? So it's a real big question in my mind on just exactly how successful the arcade will be. Let me rephrase that. It will be successful, but it will be very different from the success that Google will have.
Right, and it's interesting that you say that, that, you know, the different audiences, but one thing to keep in mind too is that I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Apple said all of these games will be exclusive to its service, whereas Google is basically just showing games that you can already play on other platforms. So I think that's interesting as well.
Yep.
Are you going to be able to buy a game? What?
Go ahead with your point. I got something to ask you.
They didn't mention like a store, you know, an app store for TV, where you could buy more games. They just said they're going to deliver 100 games, right? Didn't I hear that? Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I think the gist of it is you pay a subscription price, the one price, and you get access to 100-plus games.
It just seems like an on-ramp to keep people, you know, hooked to the platform. It's not, for, like you said, for serious gamers. Personally, I think they're missing, you know, they always seem to miss the sort of opportunity of community, right? All of those services out there where they get, gaming influencers to drive your interest and to watch how they play games and to discover, you know, new ideas about game playing. It just seems like it's for yeah, just an on-ramp, a loyalty thing. I know in Europe, you know, and all the TV platforms, they've been using casual games for, you know, decades now to keep people loyal to the platforms. But they don't seem real growth, real development, real money, I think, has come from where a community was involved. So I'm not particularly impressed with this part of the announcement.
Tracy, do you think that the combination of what Google announced with Stadia, which is not only a game service, it's a game studio, that is going to have creators the opportunity to create material, and then Apple today, is that going to move up the timetable of other people interested in launching similar services to step up to the plate and say something? We've heard Microsoft is developing something, Electronic Arts is developing something, there's some other people that look like they may jump in. Do you think that's going to happen?
Yes, I mean, I would say that's not my expertise, so why don't you ask you guys. We don't study just sort of casual games as much.
Well,
yeah, I was just going to say that I think it's already been competitive amongst all these companies, except for Apple. Apple being the newcomer, I think it's already been a race to kind of get to whatever, you know, whatever the next stage of gaming is going to be.
And I was just going to say that 5G clearly will enable. I mean, look, there are three things that are key to having a streaming gaming service. That is low latency. It is a fast enough speed so you can make sure that there is no it's a game. You cannot stall. You have to be playing at all times. And low latency, speed, and I'm forgetting what the last one was going to be, but the processing chips. I mean, processing in the cloud, and that's there now. So the real question is, why do we ever need another console? There will be. It's more marketing than anything else. But as 5G rolls out and as gig per second, however you get it to your home is out there, we are now at the point where a cloud-based gaming services are fairly easy to, or will be fairly easy to put out there, and it's just a matter of the IP. And again, if you are going after core gamers, community has become such a big part of gaming, whether it's for tournaments or whether it's for meeting other people, other gamers. It's just really critical, and so I think we'll see many more services come out over the years. Most of them won't be very good. Because, again, it's a fight for who can pay for the best IP, and those with the deepest pockets can do that, and that goes back to Microsoft, Sony, Google, and Apple.
Another possible player, by the way, is Walmart. There was a report over the weekend that they may be talking to some game developers, and don't forget that Walmart, going back to interactivity, has a website called Echo, which is owned in part by Samsung and by MGM and venture capitalists. Last year, which I thought was a very underreported story by everybody in the tech and the TV press, Walmart made a $250 million investment in Echo, EKO,
and
there's
Echo,
a possibility
Echo
that...
Echo is a very exciting interactive TV offering as well. They've been out front for many, many years doing interactive videos, music videos, and storytelling and all kinds of stuff. So I wouldn't ignore that.
I wouldn't either. And we may see at the Digital Content NewFront in May where they're going to have their first – Walmart is going to do their first NewFront on behalf of Vudu, their video on demand service. The question I will have is, will they also use that event here in New York May 1st to also announce, we're going to take Echo and make it a television service where you can use your smart TV set to pick it up rather than just go to a website or a smart TV device like Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Lisa, this announcement was the first time in over a year that Apple TV was front and center. Over the last year, last fall at the Brooklyn Academy of Music here in New York, early in the fall, Cupertino, Worldwide Developer Conference, and before that, these events were, we talk about the iPhone, we talk about the Apple Watch, we talk about whatever, but when it comes to Apple TV, zero, zip, nada, nothing, despite the fact that millions of people have Apple TV and they use it with 10,000-plus apps. Did you get the sense at this event today that the corner may have been turned, that finally Apple considers Apple TV an equal with all the other products that they do, as opposed to being a hobby or a third, fifth-class citizen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the first sign of this we actually saw back in, I believe, it was 2016 when they unveiled like the modern version of the Apple TV, the new revamped version that had the new interface that we're familiar with today. That was kind of when they kind of laid the groundwork for today's announcement. And I think Tim Cook even said during that presentation that, the future of TV is apps. And, they kind of showed off the new app store for Apple TV. And they were really just setting the stage for something like this, which is closer to their vision of, I guess, what they want, the television viewing experience to really be like. And you did see, I think, there's this, I think there's a rather famous quote from a few years ago where it might have been Tim Cook or another Apple executive, I'm not sure off the top of my head, kind of said, Apple TV isn't a hobby anymore. It's a serious product. So I definitely think, there was some element of that in today's announcement. But I think, Apple started, laying the groundwork for that and hammering that message home years ago.
Yeah. Jeff, Tracy, any thoughts about that? Is this a turn of the corner for Apple TV, that people found this, and finally Apple, Tim Cook and crew finally think, hey, this is a product that we should talk a lot more about compared to the along with the iPhone, the iPad, and iPod, and everything else?
Well, if we're talking the meta version of Apple TV, meaning the software, the app, and the service, and to Lisa's point, Apple has to start making more money out of services. The margin on phones is falling. They've got to make their margin in other places. Now, I don't think the Apple TV box, the hardware itself, is really the focus of anything. I think just in general, my sense is that all the hardware devices, whether it's Apple TV, Roku, or Amazon Fire, are interim devices that are now kind of at the tail end of their lifespan because the smart TVs have gotten that good. And I think that's why you saw the announcement of the Apple TV app proliferated across the smart TVs.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that they just wanted to punch windows into other screens to sort of, ride Apple TV content across as many places as possible. It's like they want to – I bet you they get rid of the Apple TV box at some point completely.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's
the Apple TV
–
I think the newer model that they announced a few years ago was kind of just like the catalyst for what we saw today. I agree to what Jeff was saying earlier that, it's really not about the hardware. And part of, what Apple announced today by bringing its TV app to these other platforms is almost like an acknowledgement that – not everybody's going to pay that much money for a set-top box when you can get something from, Roku or Google that is much cheaper. I think ultimately it's about the platform, not just the hardware itself.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, a couple weeks ago I had a Media Village column where I said that we are about to find out over the next few months what I call stage three of the original programming era. Where stage one was this new era was Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, and then moved into original programming. The second one, which is really developed over the last year, is all these niche services from DC Universe to Passion Flix, the Blueprint, to the Stage Network, to the Fantasy Network, which we covered a few weeks ago in this program, that are using smart TV sets and smart devices to be their primary or their exclusive distribution home way to the home. And now we have Apple's announcement today. We will have on April 11th Disney announcing Disney Plus, Hulu again on May 1st, part of the digital content new fund is now under Disney mostly control to see if they're going to have a big boost in programming. Bob Iger, the head of Disney, is now saying the Walmart situation mentioned earlier with Echo, and then of course we have Warner Media and also Comcast and Universal in terms of their original ring platform. What do we think about this? How do you think what Apple said today will have any impact at all about what Disney Plus and Warner Media, et cetera, say when they introduce their platforms?
Well, I mean, look, I think that, again, there is a new era here, one that I think, again, this goes back to my kind of theory that Netflix is going to have some problems, and that is there is competition. And each of the people that you've mentioned have a particular stable of IP that is very valuable that they can lean on and will have audiences going to them. The question really becomes, what is the consumer's threshold to pay? How many services can a consumer continue to pay for? You know, many years ago, I was going around to marketers and helping them understand, you know, the changing environment, and everyone was worried about cord cutting. And I still stand by it today, you're going to miss the days of the bundle because we are going to be paying a lot more than we have for quality content, and the market will end up shaking out. So I think they're going to each tout their strengths. They're going to each tout the fact why they're important. I think Disney Plus is in a wonderful position, in particular being able to eventually bundle in ESPN and Hulu and potentially other services within that. But if you're a parent of anyone under the age of 12 who loves Star Wars, Avengers, any of that, you're getting it. Even Disney Channel, you're getting Disney Plus. There's not even a question about it. You're getting Disney Plus. You know, how that impacts everyone else and what those trade-offs are going to be is going to be very interesting, because again, this is really indicative of a change in digital where the mindset has always been, well, there is no trade-off because information is free. Well, no, now you're going to have to pay and you're going to have to make choices, and not everyone can afford everything.
It seems, what's interesting to me though, is that one thing they didn't talk about was the rise of an interest in news and video programming. They didn't talk, they didn't mention that the local TV news industry is going through a slow, a little bit quiet revolution. And, you know, other companies like Sinclair, you know, they just introduced Stir, you know, about local news. You know, that whole universe is going to transform television. So they're obviously banking on competing with the obvious players, you know, to offer quality streaming content. But, you know, what is this announcement with all of these magazines? Do all of those magazines have their own news programming on YouTube? Are they going to be, you know, delivering video programming from the news business? I'm kind of curious if they will be getting into that kind of an offering down the road. They didn't mention that. I'm not pointing out something that they're doing wrong. I'm just saying that there's a sort of a black hole of opportunity there. Black hole is not the right word, but there's there was an indication that they're interested in news, but there was no declaration that they're really doing anything with it. So I'm just provocating, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, well, no, and I think that's interesting, especially when you look at the approach that Facebook has taken with Facebook Watch and how a lot of news outlets have used that as a really viable platform and have created shows centered on that have brought in a lot of viewers. You know, it would be interesting to see, you know, Apple take a similar approach. And yeah, I mean, I think that's another big unanswered question that we didn't get to hear about today.
Mm-hmm. And again, making that point again about the Apple News Plus, I was shocked that it was not a smart TV. That is not a smart TV service off the bat. I was very interested in those living color, those videotape living, you might say, covers. And so it gave me an idea of what they could do. They could do stories that are video stories using graphics, multimedia, and so forth, which would be perfect for Apple TV and for smart TV sets and devices. And I was surprised it just came off as a missed opportunity, at least initially.
Right, but the core still, and I think you're right. If it, as the publishers sort of morph what they're creating, but for all intents and purposes, these are still magazine style, and I don't know how well that translates to a television screen.
Well, you're also seeing this trend with publishers like Wired that are launching their own OTT apps as well. So, I mean, publishers are clearly thinking about it. But yeah, I mean, I think it is still a little bit of a new territory for a lot of outlets as well, especially like legacy print publications like the ones that Apple, you know, mentioned on stage today.
We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, it just seems
and
like
when we come
seeing...
back as a final. Go ahead.
I was just saying it just sounds to me like they're seeding the market. They're sort of telling people out there, you know, we're interested in news, we're interested in games, we're interested in developing quality content. It's kind of like they're not only selling to the consumers, but they're also prepping the B2B market, you know, for what they're willing to do. So, in other words, inviting more conversation.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to ask, after the break, our roundtable guests one final question. What should Apple do immediately within the next few weeks and months to keep the momentum going that they started today about their TV ventures in Cupertino, California? So we'll give that our roundtable momentarily. First, a quick word from our wonderful folks at Audible.com. You know, there's a very interesting new book called The Gospel According to Luke by Steve Lukather. You may know him as one of the lead people with Toto. Remember that band, rock band from the 80s? Well, he's written a brand new book you can get in audio form right now from Audible.com. And here's how. You go to audibletrial.com/televised, and you can get not one, not two, but three free audiobooks for a one-month trial. Or you can skip the trial, go for an annual subscription, and for a limited time only, take $50 off the annual price. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment information, over 100,000 titles to choose from, including a growing catalog of Audible originals. That's everything from one-man, one-woman shows, regional theater, Broadway or Broadway material, and original radio audio productions. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or iHeartRadio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get three free audiobooks, including two Audible originals, and a one-book trial service, and a great customer service from Audible Tarrant, Amazon.com. So hear for yourself why Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. Remember, this is the first of three episodes we're doing this week on Smarty Televised. Coming up on another special edition Wednesday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, we will have two presents for you. First, former Telemundo executive Jackie Hernandez. She is now the president of Combate Americas, the Spanish language UFC. And then we have a very unique discussion. We're going to discuss the role of blind people in television. How are they represented on scripted TV, including the upcoming CW series premiering in 2 weeks, In the Dark? My special guest will be the president of the National Federation of the Blind in an Internet Live radio exclusive, Mark Riccobero. That's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, our next edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming your way on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Final question for all three of you. What should Apple do in the next few months to keep the momentum going of what they started today when it regards these Apple TV ventures? Lisa, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, one of the first things that comes to mind for me is just kind of telling us more about the content. I mean, we saw a lot of stars today talk about the projects that we're working on, but, you know, we still haven't really seen the trailers for those shows. So I think that's going to be big. But I think also an interesting thing that I want to hear about is, I know for me, like, when you look at a lot of Apple's products that have been successful in recent years and in its history, it's been because they've taken an approach that is different than, you know, many of their rivals and competitors, and kind of have thought of things in a different way. And, you know, it's really in the details and the design details and in, the, you know, the little conveniences that their products bring sometimes. And I think AirPods is probably like the biggest evidence of that in recent years that we've seen. They certainly weren't the first company to make wireless earbuds, but, you know, the little benefits that you get from using them, like the automatic pairing and the automatic pausing when you take one out of your ear, I think that's why people like using them. So, similarly, like with these new services, like, you know, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot, you know, we're already saturated with so many apps, so many, new, you know, news apps, so many video apps. Like, what is going to be like the thing that makes people really love using, you know, these apps versus the ones that we're already using?
Jeff?
Well, number one, I want the price. I want to know how much this is going to cost on a monthly basis. But more importantly, I do want to know, what else am I getting besides these great originals? What are the other forms of content that are going to be accessible to me? And I know they put up a quick slide that showed a number of what looked to me to be a lot of OTT apps that are very similar to Pluto TV. But what kind of content? Is there live content? Give me details. I want to know everything. I want to know everything that I'm going to get for my subscription.
And that includes the movies from A24 and other places that were not announced, that were not talked about during the presentation. And also, what else Oprah Winfrey is planning besides the two documentary, one is a special and one is a miniseries, and also the advanced or supersized book club. Tracy, for you, wrap it up for us.
Well, I have four suggestions. Is that okay? More than one? One would be I have four suggestions. One would be to buy Netflix. Just get it over with. Number two, I would say You know, if they want to make nice with everybody in the business and to have friends in commercial television, I would say to introduce addressable advertising. I mean, nobody wants it, but then you're gonna create a lot of loyalty with a lot of content providers, although the consumer doesn't want that. Number three, I want a community layer. Nobody knows how to do that. Nobody does it right, but that's what's missing. And that would be a way to generate new content, new loyalty, new interactivity, all kinds of stuff, new revenue. And number four, I would create a nice big fund to inspire new filmmakers to deliver content to the platform and not just rely on Hollywood types. And then you're going to develop a ramp up into, you know, the plurals, the millennials, the plurals, all those new filmmakers. That's what I would do.
And two things for me before we wrap up this hour. First of all, as soon as possible, Apple should hold a press conference here in New York, have the entire New York press contingent be there, bring Tim Cook in, bring Eddie Q to talk more about Apple TV, bring Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Vandenberg, and bring the creators and producers and stars of shows we produce here in New York, get them all together, press conference style, and let's get all the questions and answers on the table about where these Apple ventures are going. And secondly, make a deal with the Paley Center in New York and in L.A. to do screenings of the shows as they are available for Apple TV, as well as the Apple service for gaming, Apple Arcade. I think it's going to be a very interesting next few months as we sort of start the road for the launch of all these services this fall. If you want to catch Tracy Swiggle's work, don't forget itvt.com. She is also the proprietor of the annual TV of Tomorrow show in Silicon Valley in June and here in New York in December. Jeff Nitzke, you can catch his work as one of the new tech comms people at MediaDose.com, great B2B site with great media analysis and commentary at MediaDose.com, www. And at least how can people see your Apple reporting?
Yes, so you can see my work at BusinessInsider.com.
Great. Lisa Nicchio, Jeff Nitzke, Tracy Spreadwell, thank you for a wonderful roundtable hour. Let's do this again one way or the other soon. It's been a pleasure to have you all on.
Thank you, Simon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to you, Simon, Applebaum.
You are all very welcome. And all of you take care. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. At Blog Talk Radio, our production associate, Candace Williams. Hey, Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager with Dave Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Very Enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised was brought to you today with limited commercial interruption by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For free pre-order books, 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday Eve and a great week ahead. We're back on Wednesday, 3 p.m. New Pacific, our regular hour, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker on the IR Radio Podcast Network. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.